time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Kim and Bill Wall. Kim and Bill Wall are with the Ground Zero Center for Nonviolent Action and with Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility, and they are in our studios this morning to share with us some of the history of the resistance to the Trident nuclear submarine base that is located 20 miles from Seattle and repository to the largest number of nuclear weapons in the Western Hemisphere. Kim and Bill, thank you very much for coming and spending time with us this morning.
You're welcome.
So let's start out. Talk to us. How did you get involved with resistance of the Trident subs here in Seattle, greater Seattle area?
Kim, you go ahead.
We were involved with Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility because of our concern for nuclear weapons, and attended a conference in April of, or were unable to, because of the crowd, the huge number of people, to actually get seats at a conference held on nuclear weapons.
At the University of Washington.
UW. And that kind of spurred our interest even more because there were so many people. It was at the time of Target Seattle, and there was a very high knowledge of the weapons and what was going on in the country at large. And the gradual discovery that a lot of it was going on here in our own area. We joined PSR, and Bill began teaching and showing slideshows of nuclear weapons and their effects, and the effects on this community in particular. And he worked and developed that slideshow and that talk, depending on whether it was children or adults.
Even high school classes.
And in that process, we began to learn that there was a place called Ground Zero with Jim and Shelley Douglas and others who were actually sharing a property line with the submarine base at Bangor, which we had not known was there. And at that time, there were no Tridents, but they were on the way. And so we actually became involved with Ground Zero in January of 1982. And I began preparations to be in the peace blockade, which was intended to get our small boats and bodies in between the submarine and its home port at Bangor. And we prepared for many months, and people watched for where the submarine was en route from where it had been built on the East Coast. And it was a very intense time.
Why did you decide to go out there and get a wetsuit and subject yourself?
That was all the preparation from the months from January on. Greenpeace was, and others, were training us. That would be in quotes. So we had to have wetsuits. We were attached to the mothership, which was a ship from Australia called the Pacific Peacemaker. It had made a very long journey to get here. It was a beautiful sailing ship. And it stopped several places en route, including Mururoa, where the French were doing their testing, and the French military rammed their mizzen mast and delayed the trip They almost did not make it to Puget Sound. The blockade was held in Oak Bay in Puget Sound, which is just north of the Hood Canal. The base is located in Hood Canal, as is our property, which abuts the base. We have 3.5 acres next to the base along their fence. And the blockade, after a long wait, a lot of practice out in the water, a number of small boats took place early in the morning of August 12th, 1982. It was very frightening.
The Coast Guard came down with how many ships? 99 ships or something like that?
Were removed from West Coast ports.
Preempted and stopped the little boats. These are boats that could maybe take two people in them. And I thought it was totally ridiculous. But what came out of this was fantastic news coverage. And video, and it was the exciting thing of the day. Every day on the news, they were telling about the preparation to block the nuclear sub from coming in. And although the boats did not stop the sub, that was a joke, they actually brought attention to the fact that the sub with its devastating cargo was coming in. So Kim was out there. You joined with a Lutheran pastor. You want to tell him about that? A small boat.
Yeah, John Nelson and Charlie McConus, and John's mother, who was 72 at the time and had been Mother of the Year, was in our little boat, and also Grace Bransky from Portland. And so we were attached to the Pacific Peacemaker, but we had to sleep on the bigger boat on the floor. And barely had time to get into our wet suits and get out into the water before they preempted and took over the Pacific Peacemaker. And so it did not get out there. We did. And the Coast Guard chased us, and we made it out. It was a foggy early morning, and but we could see it, and we got out quite close to the submarine. Another boat, the James Jordan, circled it, and a number of us were taken in to the big Coast Guard boats, but 14 of us were actually arrested. And they had taken to Bangor on the Coast Guard ocean-going vessel and treated a little roughly. And
you were brought over to Seattle.
And then we were kept in cages, chain-link cages, and then we were brought to Seattle in the evening for a hearing before Magistrate Schweigert. And when we arrived, you know, the federal building there were thousands of people waiting. And it was night by that time, so the hearing was very late. And we were released on our own recognizance, reluctantly, and with a hearing due shortly thereafter. They dropped the charges. I think they had had enough publicity. And then we saw the first white train. a few months later.
Which was first discovered running silently through Seattle, and a person, I don't remember who that was.
Fire chief.
The fire chief noted, what's that train going through with the white tops on it? And he found out that it was a nuclear cargo, and he forbade the transport through Seattle. So they had to find a different way, and that's how Jim Douglas became aware that the trains were coming into Bangor. They all actually had Jim and Shelley had bought a house right on the tracks, very close to the base, almost within walking distance of the base. And from that point, resistance began on the tracks then. So Kim started to do resistance on the tracks. And in 1983, you were arrested, weren't you?
March. No, I was not arrested.
You were not. You were pulled off the tracks. That's right.
I was pulled off the tracks, and they left me, much to my dismay.
You wanted to stop the train, didn't you?
Yes.
And then? When was the next time you got on the tracks to stop the train?
Well, I think there were also missile motor trains. So those were the trains that carried the missile motor parts, the components. And those were coming in intermittently. There would be 3 months or so, 4 months between trains, white trains, so-called white trains. And they were indeed painted white for thermal reasons, according to the Department of Energy. And we began a community to watch those trains from Amarillo, where the triggers are put into the nuclear weapon. And then they would be loaded onto and we learned how to identify the cars as cargo cars, buffer cars, and a car that held, and there would be several of those on every train, a car that held the DOE guards, and they were quite different looking, very unusual train car, and they kind of had a high part that had little windows in it for cameras and guns, and who knows what else. And those were placed along between train cars, and we knew by the numbers on the cars and slight differences in the cars which were cargo cars. And we thought they had a capacity, I believe, of about 180 hydrogen bombs each car. And they were going into the bunkers, and then we had pictures of the bunkers from the air, because the airspace was not
restricted
at that time, and of them lined up in front of the bunkers, different cars lined up in front of bunkers to be unloaded. And that's a pretty scary place. It's very desert-like, barren, and then there were these pyramids, like structures.
Dirt berms.
They were dirt berms with doors, and the ones for nuclear weapons were different than the ones for missile motors. And you could kind of tell that you could tell the difference in the shape of the berm, which was which. And at that time, there had been an earlier action when Jim Douglas and several others went in to pray at the bunkers. But that was before the blockade and before the first trident came. And another action happened more recently when five people went in to pray at the bunkers.
Well, Were you in the 1984 blockade of the train?
No.
No.
This summer.
Well, I might say that she was ready to go, but we had agreed between us that only one of us would be on the tracks at any one time because we had responsibilities. And in 1985, February of 85, after training, I decided to go on to the tracks with a group of about 21 people. We were all arrested, and we were arrested by Kitsap County authorities, and eventually we had a trial in the summer of 1985, and during that trial, many people testified, and the jury was convinced that we were not guilty, and so we were found not guilty of trespassing. And there were many reasons for that, which I can't go into at this time. But one juror especially was upset because she had heard testimony that there were no trespassing signs there. And she had had an encounter with the police with trespassers on her property, which had she had beach property. And they said, well, if you don't want trespassers, then you got to put up signs. So she thought that the government had not done its work in putting up the signs. Anyway, I was found not guilty and went on myself to be arrested about six times, sometimes for government, on the government side, and sometimes on the county side. And Kim also was arrested. So you go ahead with your story.
Well, the work of the community was to teach, write leaflets, approve leaflets, which was a big process. And we did that on both sides. Burlington Northern headquarters, who carried the trains into Bangor, was across from the federal building downtown Seattle. And so we all, on this side, wrote leaflets and leafleted the ferry people coming up from the base. The Ground Zero community side did the same thing at a number of gates.
At the Bremerton shipyards.
At the Bremerton shipyard
and
the base.
And I had a job that allowed me to be at Bangor early in the morning for leafleting. So I got to leaflet there for about 4 years. And it's interesting now that the base commander will not allow leafleting. They will not allow people to come up to the gate. And it's a very restrictive atmosphere over there.
Now we have a very protected small zone in which we can protest. I believe one of those called
free speech zones.
Free speech zone. And that was not the way it was before. And leafleting was a wonderful way. Workers would tell us that the leaflets, both at the federal building, like in the IRS and places like that, and at Bangor, would tell us that they'd post them in the coffee room. And they'd be on the table in the coffee room. And everybody read them and talked about them. And some of the workers actually left their jobs as a result of coming in contact with this information and the people. And we talked to people in Seattle who really had questions about their involvement, even working for the government. And I would say that we certainly did get arrested. We certainly did go to trial and court, and there was a lot of preparation and support for that, and a lot of jail time served. But the real work of the community was the vigiling, the walks, the leafleting, the writing of the newspaper. That was the everyday constant task before us.
Trying to call attention to the immorality and illegality of the presence of nuclear weapons at the Bangor subbase. We also had a very staunch advocate in the Catholic Archbishop of Seattle, Raymond Hunthausen, who actually came out to the tracks, gave speeches, and made the walks with us. So it was very heartening, I guess, would be to have him out there supporting us. Now, for those who are interested, there's a action going to take place on Monday, this coming Monday, which is August 6th, is it?
Mm-hmm. Hiroshima.
And there's always an action around the Hiroshima, Nagasaki times of city destruction between August 6th and August 9th. There's always an action at the base at that time. So we're continuing on with the trying to call attention to the public to these events that are happening in their backyard. And it was an interesting fact that the one of the nuclear subs has destructive power, which makes it the sixth most powerful nation or entity in the world, one of the subs. And to think that we would think about using nuclear weapons on cities, which they can only be used on, they're useless to try and use them on small bases and so on, that it would be an immorality beyond comprehension. And we don't want to take part in that immorality.
And in fact, this weekend at the Ground Zero Center is many other, in addition to Monday, there's also speakers coming out
too.
Today and tomorrow, mm-hmm. Sunday. Today will be trainings, and I believe Dorley Rainey will be speaking this evening. Jim and Shelley Douglas are coming out from Alabama to speak. And,
they're here? Yeah,
they should be here later today, and more events tomorrow as well. So you've obviously been doing this a long time. Do you think things are worse now in terms of the U.S. nuclear weapons program than they were when you first started?
I think there's a stability of weaponry. But one of the things that bothers us is that nobody knows about Bangor. That you ask people in Seattle, have you heard about the Bangor subbase? Or they'll ask you what you're going to do this weekend. You'll say, we're going out to protest at Bangor. And they say, where's that? So we're very disturbed that people in general do not know that the Bangor subbase is here. And there's also a similar subbase in Georgia. Isn't it Georgia? Kings Bay, Georgia? So we're hoping that somehow people will become more knowledgeable about the base, and hopefully they would find a way to write their senators and representatives to get them to begin decreasing the number of nuclear weapons, and eventually with the idea to eliminate them altogether. One other thing, it's ironic that the United States criticizes Iran for wanting to have nuclear weapons when we have the maximum amount of nuclear weapons in the whole world. Along with Soviet Union, of course. No.
Well, I think it's worse because of the silence. At least at that earlier moment in time, there was a much higher, and I think, and it was countrywide, where people were concerned. And I think it was because there were threats to use them by the federal government, and the argument about deterrence and use. So I believe that the Bangor base is 14 miles as the crow flies. Its explosive potential is beyond anything imaginable, and they want to build a new explosives handling wharf much larger than the one that exists. And when they go to that wharf, they're handling not only the nuclear reactor that runs the submarine, and they're certainly with a new wharf, there will have, I don't know how many submarines can be in port, actually, at one time. But they're also handling the enormous
destructive
potential of power of the missile motor, which is unbelievably powerful, to lift those missiles out of the ship to their targets. And then there's the nuclear weapon itself.
How much is that wharf going to cost, Kim?
I think it's 700 and some billion.
A million.
Yeah, I think it's just short of $1 billion.
Oh, short of
Around $800 million currently.
Currently. I mean, those figures always change. I don't like to even quote because they change depending on what happens in the process. And there's a lot of, you know, it's still not over. It's not built. And it's environmentally a disaster, covering huge areas of Puget Sound. The other one already does, and this one will be larger. It's been a long haul. We've been involved 30 years. And this is our 35th anniversary this weekend. And it's a cause for celebration. But we also need to know how powerful the forces are that plan and build weapons.
People can go out to visit the Ground Zero community on Clear Creek Road near Paulsbo. And
yes, that would be a good idea.
Yeah,
and what's especially
address?
This weekend.
Do you have their address?
16159 Clear Creek Road Northwest, Paulsbo.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you're in Seattle, you take the...
There's a nice building out there.
Bainbridge Ferry.
You can get a cup of coffee. And
or lunch.
Take a walk along the base restraint line, which is actually Ground Zero abuts the base there, and is about 200 yards from the main
building.
Main gate. Where the protests will be held.
We are talking with Kim and Bill Wall. They're both with the Ground Zero Center for Nonviolent Action and Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility. And will you both be over at the GZ Center this weekend anytime?
Yeah, we'll be over an overnight for the action on Monday morning.
We'll be
there. And
I'll probably tape it.
And Bill will take his video.
That's my collection.
Bill has been taking videos for as long as he has had the camera.
1984.
84, 5, yeah.
It's an incredible collection that we need to get digitized so that everyone can see the amazing history that you all have been a part of there at the center and at the base. Unfortunately, with that, we are out of time. I want to thank you both very much for coming in and spending some time with us this morning.
Okay, thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, Mike, thanks.